It was the third in the series of Man After God's Own Heart, but it was a message called Surviving Giant Country. And we only got a little ways into it. I don't want to go back and try to bring everything in. But the scripture is in 1 Samuel chapter 17, verses 32 through 40. And I won't take time to read all of that, but I do want to read one or two verses of that. David was a young man at this point. He was so young that his father didn't even consider him when the prophet Samuel came to his house and said, God wants me to anoint one of your sons. He brought out all the older kids, but left David on the back side of the property on the side of one of the hills in Judea and never considered him. And God rejected all the other brothers and said, through the prophet, is there not another? And Jesse said, well, there's the youngest. He's out with the sheep. And Samuel said, go get him. And of course, when he walked in, God said, that's my man. So David was keeping the sheep, and his father said, I want you to take some food to your brothers who are with Saul, and they're in a battle. I want to find out how they're doing. I hadn't heard anything in over 40 days. So David is gone. When he gets there, there's a giant. Israel's on one side, the Philistines on the other, and the giant stands between them. This is what David says to King Saul in verse 32. Let no one lose heart on account of this Philistine. Your servant will go and fight him. Saul replied, you're not able to go out against this Philistine and fight him. You're only a young man, and he's been a warrior since his youth. But David said to Saul, your servant has been keeping his father's sheep. When a lion or a bear came to carry off one of the sheep of the flock, I went after it, struck it, rescued the sheep from its mouth. And when it turned on me, I seized it by the hair and I killed it. David had learned to trust in God and to walk in the power of God, not in the power of the flesh. It didn't matter his age, it didn't matter his size. All that mattered was God. When you are walking in giant country, you're going to be confronted. And it doesn't matter how weak you are. It doesn't matter how learned you are or are not. All that matters is God with you. Is God in your heart? If he is, then you're more than a conqueror. And you can take that giant down. And we see David right now at this moment in one of the most desperate times of his life. But he, in the past, has trusted God for some big things. And he has seen God do miraculous things. And he said, God's the same yesterday, today, and forever. If he did it then, he'll do it now. Surviving, point one, is a matter of timing. And we covered that. in 1 Samuel 17, 17 through 24, and I'm not going to read it again. But it tells the story. It lays it out of who this giant is, and he's impressive. He's anywhere from 9'9" to 13'4" or whatever it is. So you say, well, he was just 9'9". That's a pretty good sized fella, if you ask me. Especially if he's throwing a 25-pound spear. I used to throw a shot put, and it was only 8 pounds, and I couldn't throw it very far. He would throw that spear, and it weighed 25 pounds, just the head of it. That wasn't counting the shaft of it. So he was an impressive, intimidating. Giants always are. They get your attention. They intimidate you. David hears this giant standing there, blaspheming the name of God and bringing shame on God's people. And he said, no, I'm not putting up with that. But when giants come, they intimidate in that way. They tell you, you're not able. They'll tell you, you're puny. You have no faith. You're defeated. When giants come at you, they come to overcome you. But God said he would take all things and use it for our good in Romans 8:28. And he said in Psalms 37:23, the Lord makes firm the steps of the one who delights in him. So God's in charge. He's moving us through. Job 23:10 says, he knows the way I take. When he has tested me, I'll come forth as gold. We can stand on that. We can walk in that kind of faith. And then Jeremiah 27:11, where God says, I know the plans I have for you. Plans to prosper you, not to harm you. Plans to give you hope and a future. So it doesn't matter whether we're facing COVID-19 or we're facing an angry boss or whatever we're facing. God will make a way where there seems to be no way, and he will bring us all the way through, and we can be victorious when we're walking in his perfect will. So the only thing I have to do is make sure that my heart is in line with his heart, that my mind is in line with his mind, that my footsteps are in line with his pathway. I don't have to be fearful of what Satan might throw up. I can walk with my head held high, because I'm a part of his perfect plan. Did he know that the giants was coming? Yes, God knew that. Did God know that this was going to be a difficult day for David? Yeah, God knew that too. David didn't know it. He got up and yawned and stretched, took a shower, brushed his teeth, might not have shaved, but got ready and went out to the sheep just like he had done every other day. He had no idea before the sun set that night that he was going to be facing a huge giant. Most of us don't either. On the day that our giant steps into our life, we've gotten up, we've gone through the routine just like every other day, and we've stepped out into the fresh air, and suddenly, whang! That's biblical saying right there, Wong. And there's a giant there. Did God know? Yeah. Nothing comes across your path without the permission of God, unless you're totally out of his will. Now, if you get off on your own over here, whatever comes your way is your problem. But when you're walking with God, nothing comes nigh unto you that he doesn't know about. And he's already equipped you to overcome it. And it's a part of the test to make you stronger so that we walk by faith. So that brings me to point two very quickly. Survival is a matter of trusting. So point one was a matter of timing. Point two is survival is a matter of trusting. In 1 Samuel 17, 26 through 32, David asked the men standing near him, "What will be done for the man who kills this Philistine and removes the disgrace from Israel? Who is this uncircumcised Philistine that he should defy the armies of the living God?" And they repeated to him what they had been saying and told him, "This is what will be done for the man who kills him." And they told him, "The king's going to give him some riches. The king's going to give him some land. And the king's going to give him his daughter." She wasn't such a prize, but that's okay. He learned to live with it. There's sometimes you'd say, "No thanks, just keep it." And he should have done that. When Eliab, in verse 28, that's David's eldest brother. When Eliab, David's oldest brother, heard him speaking with the men, he burned with anger at him and asked, "Why have you come down here? And with whom did you leave those few little sheep in the wilderness?" Belittling David. "I know how conceited you are and how wicked your heart is. You've come down here only to watch the battle." And David says, "What have I done?" Verse 29, you can read it there. "What have I done?" said David. "Can't I even speak?" He then turned away to someone else and brought up the matter, the same matter, and the men answered him as before. What David said was overheard and reported to Saul, and Saul sent for him. And David said to Saul, "Let no one lose heart on account of this Philistine. Your servant will go and fight him." When David heard those threats that Goliath was giving out, he determined that something must be done. And since all of Israel's army was cowards to go against him, David said, "I'll do it. No big thing. I'll go." And he makes his intentions known. And David sets out to see the Goliath defeated. But as soon as he expressed his desire, and this is what Satan will do to you. You pay attention to it. This is a lesson for us. The moment David said, "Hey, what's going to happen to the guy who defeats him?" Because he was saying that in confidence. He says, "I'm going to be the guy, and I want to find out what I'm going to get." The moment he says that, he's met with criticism and doubt. His eldest brother criticizes him, and his king doubts him. When you start to step out, face your giant, somebody's going to say, "Hey, you can't do that. You ain't got enough faith for that. You're going to fail. You're going to be like everybody else that's tried." They're going to criticize you, and they're going to implant doubt in you. But as we watch David move toward that moment when he's going to face off with the giant, What we see is a young man who has learned something about faith and learned something about trusting in God. David learned about God's purposes. 1 Samuel 16:13, I don't have time to read it. David has been anointed as king to sit on the throne, and the Spirit came upon him at that moment. Go back and read it. David knew that he wasn't going to die that day. He had been anointed king. And one day he was going to sit on the throne. So this wasn't his day. So he knew God's purposes. David had learned about God's protection. 1 Samuel 17:34 through 37. He had killed the lion, he had killed the bear. So David knew that everything God had done in the past, he was still well able to do in the future. God is not getting weaker, even though our faith may be. God is perfect in all his ways, and he is as strong today as he was then. Then David had learned about God's power. 1 Samuel 17:38 through 40. David knew that victory did not reside in swords or shields or spears or armors or bows, but in the power of God. He would go into battle with the same God and the same weapons that he had used against the lion and that he had used against the bear. And he overcame then, and he was going to overcome now. In other words, David's trust was not in the armor or the army or the armaments. David's trust was in Almighty God. We need to learn that lesson. If God be for us, who can be against us? The same God who had protected him and given him victory after victory on the hills of Judah would grant him victory in the valley of Elah, and he would overcome the giant. The only giant in David's life at that moment was God. To him, Goliath wasn't any giant. He was nothing to worry about. David was there, and that giant stood before him. But if you remember what he said, "You ain't nothing. God's gonna deliver you into my hands, and I'm gonna cut your head off." Now, you know, 17-year-old boys don't know a whole lot. They think they do. But most of them's dumb as dirt. And they'll make all these proclamations, but this one was backed up. He knew what God was going to do. It's a great lesson for those of us who face giants from time to time. No matter what that problem is, no matter what that obstacle is, no matter what steps in your way to challenge you from going forward, there be more for us than there are for them. Isn't that what Elijah told his servant when he saw the chariots of fire on the mountain rims? We've got more on our side than Satan's got on his. And we've got God on our side. And we've got the blood of Christ on our side. If we ever learn that lesson that David had learned about fighting giants, you and I can make short work out of all of them. Here's what we need to know. Point one, and listen to me. I'm going to close with this. God did not save you for some giant to destroy you. God didn't save you and put you where you are for Satan to get advantage over you. God saved you to take you home to glory one day to live with Him. He saved you so that He could say, "Well done, my good and faithful servant." That giant cannot do the eternal work of God. He can't send you home. Only God can take you home. Philippians 1:16, being confident of this, that he who has begun a good work in you will carry it on until completion, until the day of Christ Jesus. That giant that stands in front of you is there as a part of God's eternal plan for your life. You see it as an obstacle. God sees it as a lesson, a faith strengthener. The giant is there to help you grow. There's nothing quite like cutting your teeth on a few giants to make your faith grow stronger. When you see God overcome, when you see God give victory, when you see that, hey, God's in this thing. The next time you come up against one, you remember that moment. You say, "God, you did it then. You can do it now." You can trust God and His purposes. Next, God will not change courses in the middle of the stream. He won't do it. He will always be that which He has always been. God will always be God. One of the greatest attributes of our Lord is His immutability. That simply means He is unchangeable. I am the same yesterday, today, and forever. I change not. God is a God who will not, cannot change. Malachi 3:6 says, "I, the Lord, do not change, so you, the descendants of Jacob, are not destroyed." Hebrews 13:8, Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. The same God who did all the marvelous, miraculous things that we read about in the Bible is the same God that we're serving today. And if He did it then, He'll do it now. You heard about the Red Sea parting? He can do it again. My partner and I we invested all of our money and we were in business together, and it was concrete business, and we poured a driveway that was huge. Big circle drive, and we put all of our money into it, and there was a rainstorm coming. We had just got it down and we had just screeded it out and we got it all level and looked, and here come a wall of rain. And I said, "Oh, God, if it rains on this thing, it's going to ruin it, and we're going to lose everything we got because we're going to have to fix it." But my partner pointed at the rain and said, "I rebuke you. You will not destroy what God has blessed us with." That rain parted, went around us, and come together on the backside, and we counted four drops in a 300-yard long driveway. Tell me God can't do it. Woo! Make you want to jump and shout. I saw that. He's the same God today. He made rivers part back then, or seas, or whatever, and he can make rain part today. You heard about the manna? He can take care of every need you got. You've heard about the rock that gave water? He can supply even when you're in a desert time. You've heard of the meal barrel and the cruise of oil? Oh, God can make it last and last and last and last. The loaves and the fishes, he can make a little go a long way. He can continue to make it larger and larger and larger. He raised Lazarus from the dead. Yeah. He can raise old dead stinking spirits too. So if your spirit has got a little stale, give it to Jesus. He'll bring you forth. His name says it all. Moses said, Who am I going to tell Pharaoh that sent me? You tell him, I am that I am. That's all that we need to know. I am who I am. He is self-existence, a chainless God. And you can trust him for his protection. We seem to have trouble remembering some of our past defeats, but we don't have trouble remembering the victories that the Lord has given us. So let's put our mind on those victories. God will never fail those who place their trust in him. Those who trust in men, methods, and materials, you're going to fail. But if you trust in God, you'll never fail. Those who place their unwavering trust in God's power will always succeed. I have his word on it. Our God is not weak. He's not an anemic God. And I don't care whether they say no God in our schools. They can't keep God out. You push God into your children. You pack them full of God. When they get to school, God's going to be spilling out of them. And teachers can't stop that. Administrators can't stop that. Laws can't stop that. God will go where he wants to go. Those who walk with their faith in him can experience his power. And I've said all that to say this: God is more than able. Whether you're in giant country or whether you're on the Riviera listening to the waves break on the seashore, God is more than able. Where is your trust when that financial need looms in front of you? Do you wring your hands and say, oh, what am I going to do? Or do you stand by faith and say, my God shall supply? It's in the man. The man of God, that faith arises and every obstacle can be overcome. Everything around you will fail, but God will never fail. So as we face our giants, let's be certain that our faith, our dependence is in God. He and he alone never fails. We sing a song. He's never failed me yet. I thought these walls would fall, but God has never failed me. They will come down. Our survival depends on our being able to trust him. So trust him. those of you who are watching online, trust him. He'll take care of you. He'll walk with you. You can depend on it. Bow your heads with me, would you please?